Greetings, saints. God be with you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, I feel to talk on something that's dear to your heart, love, because you are love. And Father, this is what fruit basically is love. And we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would get this across to my brethren and also bring it to their remembrance in the trials that are ahead. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Well, I'm going to start out with a very brief description of love, because, as I said, God is love. What do you think his bride would look like? Love. His children are love. They bear his fruit. You know, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. And that is, of course, love. We come into the image of his love. So this description, I think, is one of the most important things about bearing fruit in all the Bible, you know. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 13, then we're going to look at what love is and what it isn't, just briefly. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So basically what he's going to tell you about love here is how much more important it is than gifts. You know, it's fruit that gets us into heaven. It's fruit that brings us into the image of Jesus. It's fruit that causes us to be in the bride. It's fruit. And the main thing that describes that fruit is love. Tongues are good. It's a wonderful, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, Paul said, you know. It's a good gift, wonderful gift. Gifts are good to bring people into the kingdom. They're good to edify the person that does it, etc., etc. All the gifts are great. I'm not taking anything away from the gifts. But there are people who have the gifts who think that this makes them somebody when they can be nobody if they have no love. As it says right here, I was one of the first churches I went to was a Pentecostal church, and they put tongues way up there, you know. It was way on up there. And of course I do speak with tongues a lot, because it edifies me, it builds me up, and it's a wonderful gift, a wonderful gift. So I'm not belittling it, but they put it way up there, and there wasn't a lot of love there. In fact, I found out their love was a little fishy. So anyway, I moved on, and but it goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So there are people that have these things, and they are wonderful. We're not taking anything away from them, but the end result of the fruit that God wants in his people is love. As a matter of fact, we can see that the best way to manifest the gifts here is love. If you go back, chapter 12, verse 31, he says, but desire earnestly the greater gifts, and moreover, a most excellent way show I unto you. And what is that most excellent way to manifest the gifts, to administer the gifts of God to his people? It is love. A person with love is able to administer the gifts. But you can have these gifts and have wonderful faith, wonderful teachings, and all these things. But if you don't have love, you're nothing in the eyes of God. Many people will do many mighty works in his name. But he will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. Verse 3 says, and if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. There's some very generous people out there. Some of them aren't even saved, but they're very generous people. And if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So there are people that are very generous, but they don't have love. And so they don't have the beginnings of the relationship with God. And then he gets into a better description of love. Love suffereth long. It is kind. It suffers long with people. It's not impatient, not impulsive. It's not angry or judgmental. It suffers long with people. Obviously, God has suffered long with us, and we have to suffer long with others. And it is kind. There's a lot of people that are just mean as a junkyard dog, and they call themselves Christians. And the truth is, they're not kind. Love is kind. And love envieth not. You know, there's no jealousy in love. There's no ambition, selfish ambition in love. It envies not. And it doesn't put itself forward. There are people that have big egos. And love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. A person with a big ego doesn't have love. Love vaunteth not. In other words, pushed itself not forward. You know, put yourself out there. You know, I'm the one, you know. It's not puffed up. In other words, not bigger in their own mind than they are in God's mind or in the people's mind, right? Not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Well, we just had on the news that a bunch of people got out and screamed at the heavens. Well, it was an anti-Trump crowd. But they went out there naked. A whole crowd of them went out there naked, screaming at the heavens. Now that's behaving yourself unseemly. There's no love in that. It's corruption. It is degrading. And it seeketh not its own. It's not selfish, in other words. It's not me, me, and mine, you know. Seeketh not its own. And there are a lot of Christians. I mean, they know the Great Commission. They know that God wants them to administer and bring people into the kingdom. But they're big on, especially full gospel type people. That's many of them. They're just so big on eating, they ain't got time to do any of that other stuff. They're just seeking their own, you know. And in many ways, God's people seek their own. And they don't seek what is pleasing to God, what God would have them to do. And is not provoked. Some people are very easily provoked. You get into their territory and they'll get on your toes, you know. And so we're not to be provoked. There's no anger resteth in the bosom of a fool, the Bible says. So we're not to get angry because someone has crossed our ego, you know. Or even said, had some doctrine that is wrong, or what, arguing with them because their doctrine is wrong, or whatever, you know, not easily provoked. You can still be patient, still be kind, even with people that don't agree with you, so on and so forth. And taketh not account of evil. Well, you know, people hold up things, unforgiveness in their heart against people, and of course, you know, we're not forgiven if we don't forgive, according to what Jesus said. That's pretty dangerous. You have to be forgiven to be saved, okay? But people just build up their tally against others. And we're told in Philippians 4 and 8 that we're not to take account of evil also. Rejoiceth not in unrighteousness. Have you ever laughed about something and realized, hey, that doesn't seem like something good that we should be laughing about? You know, that's a sad thing, you know? We want to desire that people overcome and be saved, and their failures and all is not something to be laughed about or rejoiced about, but to be prayed about. But rejoiceth with the truth. Yes, we love to see the truth go out. Love to see the Word of God go out. It's from the very simplest to the very wisest and very deepest. We want to see the truth go out because the truth is what sets you free, according to what Jesus said. Amen. It beareth all things. That kind of goes along with suffering long. Is not provoked. It beareth all things. because, you know, people are ignorant, but that's okay. We've all been ignorant, and we all need to know more than what we know now. And we need to be patient and kind to people and loving to people. This is part of our trial as Christians. You know, we're proving our faith. We're proving our love, you know, for people around us. You know, there was probably nobody more belligerent than Saul that was made an apostle. But look what happened, you know. Look what God used him for. Amen. Just think of the people that you're dealing with that are belligerent or anti-Christian even, you know. The Lord wants patience. Believeth all things. You know, we're not talking about believing all errors or anything like that. We're just talking about giving people the benefit of the doubt. If they say something, you don't have to have suspicion all the time. You can just be like a child, you know. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, amen. Endureth all things. There it is again. Is not provoked. Suffereth long. Is patient, right? All those come along with endureth all things. Some people think they shouldn't endure anything, and they're ready to be belligerent if they think that they are being forced into it. But the Bible says, resist not him that's evil, turn the other cheek, love your enemies, right? And we're told love never faileth. Amen. Love is the way. People don't generally face love when they face Christians. That's the sad part. They don't see the love in Christians. They see a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of judgmentalism, a lot of pride and ego, and that's bad. But love never faileth. If we have love, God will use it mightily. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So what he's talking about doing away with, of course, is the immaturity in it. We have to grow up in our gifts. We grow with our gifts, you know. Are these gifts going to cease? No, they're not going to cease. The in part is going to cease. That's what it's talking about here. It says, when that which is perfect, that or full grown or complete, is come, that which is in part shall be done away. So there you have it. You have the explanation right there in the text. That's what's going to be done away, that which is in part. Because you grow up and the completion of it comes. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, as I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, there you go. It's not complete yet, right? But that childishness is done away. I have put away childish things. Okay. So there's nothing wrong with being a child. We just have to grow up in our gifts and in maturity and in love. Verse 13. But now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Because God is love. And many out there are, you know, desiring after the high calling of God in Christ. Whether it be the bride or whether it be in the man-child or whatever. Well, if you want that, you'll have to love. This is the most important thing about bearing fruit right here, is love. Well, now that we've described love very briefly and quickly, and I'd like to look at some of the things the Lord says about it, love in the Scriptures. And I'm going to start with John 10 and 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they must hear my voice, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. Well, we know that Jesus did that in his day. Those that came out of the church of his day, Churches is used very wrongly in this regard by a lot of people. But Jesus went into the sheepfold of Judaism, and he called his own by name, and he led them out. And of course, these disciples came out of all the denominations of Judaism, and they followed him. Therefore, they became one flock and one shepherd. There was no denominations among his people. The denominations were among the Judaizers. And he called them out. And that means the called out ones is what the church is. Some people have asked me, even recently, are we called to come out of the church? I said, well, no. If you come out from among them, you are the church. You are the called out ones. And of course, those early disciples were all called out of the denominations of Judaism because there was a bunch of hypocrisy and not obedience to God's word, etc., etc. And it's the same today. The things that have been are the things that shall be. You're called to come out of the playpens, as I call them. I mean, they keep you out of trouble for a little while, but you're supposed to outgrow that playpen, climb over the walls, and get out, just like Jesus went into the sheepfold to bring his out. And he did. But before the end, once again, there's going to be one flock and one shepherd. Now, you know, in chapter 13, in verse 1, there was a black spot in Jesus' flock. It wasn't spotless and blemishless. It had to be sanctified. And it was. John 13:1 says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end." He loved his own that were in the world. Now, I might say a few things here that will come against the traditional thought about God's love. But I'm just going to quote the Bible so you know that it's not coming from me. Okay? He loved his own that were in the world. And, you know, as you go on down a little bit, he says in verse 18, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me." And this was, of course, the black spot in the body there. And it was Judas. And there are many Judases. I've seen many of them myself. They're all the same. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I mean, when you crucify Jesus' brethren, you're doing it to him, right? So, we know that through this sanctification, this body, this one flock of the one shepherd, was sanctified. In 1 John 2 and 19, we're told, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Interesting. Well, you know, you remember the parables Jesus gave, like the tares that were sown among the wheat. Who did this? Well, an enemy did it, right? And he said, "Let them both grow together until the harvest. And then he will send forth his angels and separate, you know, into bundles the tares to burn them. But the wheat will shine forth in the kingdom of God." In other words, another sanctified body. We're coming back to the same place we left in the time of Jesus. We're going to see a sanctified body. Glory be to God. "They went out from us, but they were not of us." Well, that's what the way it is with tares, and it's the way it is with goats among the sheep, you know. They're not the same nature. They may be very religious. You know, the very religious people were the ones that crucified Jesus and his apostles and all the prophets. Very religious, but they didn't have love, and they didn't know him. And it's the same today. History always repeats the things that have been or the things that shall be, and the things that have been done or the things that shall be done. We will know them by their fruit and by their love one for another. Right? So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. In other words, they would still have love. They didn't give up their love, you know. The people that stayed among the disciples all loved each other. They would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. Or that not all are of us. You know, depending upon how you see that. The numeric says that not all are of us. That's what the numeric pattern is in. So, this separation is something God's doing in these days because, once again, we're coming back to being one flock and one shepherd. Denominationalism is a work of the flesh, as Paul clearly said. And a sect or a division or a strife, or they're all divisions, you know. You know, back where we were in chapter 13, verse 34. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Well, that's a tall command, isn't it? Can this actually be done? Well, it can be done, but it can't be done without God's power. And, of course, we go to God by faith so that His power brings it to pass. It's not like we're going to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, as I've said so many times. It's not possible. But your faith will make it absolute. And, you know, again, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. That's faith. That's faith. Jesus lives in me. I don't live anymore. I was baptized. I went down in that water and I came up, and now it's Jesus that lives in me. And that's your faith towards God, that He gave Himself for us. And He took our old sins, He nailed them on that cross, and we don't have them anymore. We have Jesus. And so, through this faith, we're accounted righteous. And since we're accounted righteous, we can have grace. And since we got grace, we have God's unmerited favor in order for us to walk in the steps of Jesus. Love one another, even as I have loved you. So when you look in the mirror, you're seeing Jesus' love in you, you see. Anything that you lacked, He took care of at the cross. It's His power that'll get us there. He will work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, right? Isn't that awesome? Anything you lack concerning love, you don't have to worry about it. You go to God. You pray. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's past tense because it happened at the cross. And you shall have them. And that's the rest of faith. You go to God. You confess your sins. You repent and believe what He says. And you believe the gospel so that you can have the love of God in you, right? That you love one another, even as I have loved you. That you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Disciples, a mathetes, is a learner and a follower. You study Him, you studied 1 Corinthians 13, to see what love was. You desire after that because that's who Jesus is. And if you've got fruit, that's what you will have. How do we get fruit? Well, I just told you how we get fruit. We accept it as a free gift from the cross. Reconciliation, an exchange of His life for our life. That's what reconciliation means, right? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Okay, so Jesus' disciples can be seen by their love one to another. Does that mean you can judge the younger brother? Well, no. It doesn't mean you can judge them. You can bless them. You can try to edify them. You can believe for them like you believe for yourself. But everybody's got to grow up, right? The first church I went to was, dead as a doornail. And they didn't believe much of the Bible. And I pray that by now all those people are out of there and gone on to grow up in the Lord, you know. And it's a very well-known church. Church is as a denomination, you know, so on and so forth. But I didn't stay there a month because I was reading the Bible and I wasn't satisfied and I was hungry for the real thing, you know. 14 and 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is how you prove your love, by keeping his commandments. You know, recently somebody contacted me, wanted to talk to me, and they wanted to tell me that they didn't feel right about what I was teaching about love. They wanted love to cover them while they stayed in their sins. And I knew that, and I didn't argue with the person. And I'm not going to argue with anybody. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. That's his word, and I believe it. Okay. And of course, there's a lot of people want to have this lovey-dovey Jesus that loves them while they stay in their sins. Well, we'll cover that in a minute, too. That's so wrong. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is, of course, agape. We've been talking about agape love, you know. And there's nothing wrong with phileo love, by the way. It is an affectionate love. Agape love is geared more towards obedience than phileo is. Phileo is more like a friendship, a kindness, you know, so on and so forth. The Philadelphia church was the most loving of the churches because they had both phileo and agape. You know. Notice, I'm going to back up just a little bit. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. How awesome. He will give you the Holy Spirit. You keep his commandments, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. That he may be with you forever. Oh, praise God. Even the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit can lead you to truth. Don't know if you've noticed or not, but the Spirit-filled churches come a lot closer to believing what the Bible says. And that's because the people are filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to say this. I've had people gripe to me about Spirit-filled people. Now, let me say this. It doesn't have so much to do with having the Holy Spirit as obeying the Holy Spirit. Because if you love, you're obeying the Holy Spirit. And that's quite different. There's a lot of people who speak in tongues and are, like I said, mean as a junkyard dog, you know. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You know, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. And a person who is worldly minded and loves the world, they're going to find it hard. For it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. The world does not behold this God of love. Let's be specific about his love, and I'm going to be specific about his love, who it is that he loves, and who it is that he does not love. And yes, the Bible is very plain about this. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there figuring all angles, and they want to figure every way that they can have both the world and the kingdom, and it's not possible. You have to lose your life in this world to gain your higher life. For it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. Glory be to God. I will not leave you desolate. I will come unto you. What does he mean? By the Spirit. He is one with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is, right? And the Spirit takes of mine and declares it unto you, he said. So the Holy Spirit is the one that brings forth Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And yet a little while, and the world beholdeth me no more. But you behold me. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, you know, why does he keep saying this? Because people don't believe it. He repeats it over and over and over all the way through the New Testament. People don't really believe it. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Now let's just believe what it says right there. He that loveth me and keepeth my commandments, he shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. So who is it that Jesus loved? Well, he loved his own. He loved those disciples. He loved those disciples that followed him. And as imperfect as they were, they desired more of him, and they studied him, and they were following him for that purpose. Of course, there was one in there that wasn't doing that. He was stealing out of the till, you know, and very full of rejection, and betrayed Jesus. And I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Oh boy, this is awesome. The Lord is going to manifest himself to his people who love him and keep his commandments. And those that say they love him but don't keep his commandments, they will never see him. Judas, not Iscariot, saith unto him, Lord, what is come to pass that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? In other words, how is this going to happen? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. There he is saying it again. And my Father will love him. So you got more than one witness here. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Meaning, of course, that Jesus and the Father will live in the people who keep his commandments. Is that plain or what? He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. So you can tell when you give people the word of God and they don't want to obey it, just know that they don't love Jesus. Now, lots of people say they love Jesus, and they have this maybe just phileo type, you know, appreciation for Jesus, but not the obedience kind, the agape kind of love, which is being spoken about here. Because that's always connected with obedience, you know. It's not a touchy-feely thing. If you love him, you're going to keep his commandments because you want to see him pleased. You want to please the Father. You want to please the Son. And when you please them, they come to live in you. You want to know why some people bear fruit? He just told you. What is fruit? It is God in you. And it comes because you're obedient to that love that he shed for you. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Well, amen. Agape love. Okay? Obedience is important. Some people have basically shortcut this because they follow religion instead. So therefore, they think that that's important, which it's not. All the disciples came out of the religion that they once thought was the religion that God had created. But it had fallen a long ways away from that. I'm going to come back here, but look at 16:26 and 27. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me. Notice the condition there. Notice the condition in what we're talking about. There is a condition for the Father's love and the Son's love. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. Because you have loved me. And what is that? Keeping His commandments. So you want the Father to love you? Keep His commandments. And have believed that I came forth from the Father. Okay? And also 17 and 26. And I made known unto them thy name, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. He just keeps repeating this through the scriptures. You want God to live in you? You want fruit, which is God living in you? You keep His commandments. You say, we can't do that. That's works. No, it's not works. It's God's works. Because remember, you go to Him by faith. Faith without works is dead, meaning your faith is not effective because you do not yet have His works. So when you exercise your faith in Him, He comes and He does the work in you. That's what we're just seeing here, right? Isn't it awesome? Okay, back to John 14 and 15, chapter 14, chapter 15. I'm gonna jump over to John 15 and verse 10. Now I'm going to go back to verse 9. Verse 9. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. Now this is a command, by the way. You need to abide in the love of God. Remember what He said. If a man love me, he will keep my word. Okay? You abide in the love of God. I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. How clear can that be? If you're keeping Jesus' commandments, the Father's commandments, you're abiding in His love. You have proven His love. And what's going to happen to you? Well, the Father and the Son are going to come and set up their abode in you. You will be a temple of His presence because you have loved Him. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Wow. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Boy, how can your joy be made full? Because the Father and the Son set up their abode in you. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Same love, notice. Well, when they come to live in you, guess whose love shines forth out of you? It's theirs. Right? The Father and the Son. And this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What does it mean to lay down your life for your friends? It's to give up your old life. As the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day, right? That outer fleshly man has to go. The old suke life or soulish life has to be replaced with the zoe life, which is God's life. And when God comes to live in you, that's His life. Notice you don't have to struggle when God comes to live in you. When you're keeping His commandments because you've had faith in Him, and because you've had faith in Him, He gives you grace. And because you have grace, now you have the favor of God to walk in His presence. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You know, there are a lot of people that want to live out that life, that old life. They don't really sacrifice themselves for others. But Jesus gave us a commandment, and not only that, He showed us how to do it. He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our friends. And here's how you lay down your life. You're my friends if you do the things which I command you. Think about it. You know, Abraham was the friend of God. Not everybody's a friend of God. Some people are just religious. Some people are servants and not sons, right? Sons love the Father. Servants serve because they have to, right? But we're friends if we lay down our life and do His commandments. We're His friends. He said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you." Okay, so he reveals these things unto those who are his friends. Because a lot of people don't know what the Lord is doing. And that's because they're not his friends. They don't keep his commandments. But he talks to his friends. He reveals to them what he's doing. And you know what? If you love someone, you wake up thinking about them. You go to bed thinking about them. They're the important thing in your life. Hobbies? They're not even a close second. I don't even think I have any hobbies, come to think of it. All that stuff just fell away. I don't have any time to do anything but run after the Lord and love Him. And you shouldn't either in these days, because the time is short. And we're running a race. Some will be in the bride, in the first fruits. Many will not. And they will have to go through much tribulation and trials in order to be sanctified. The bride is willingly taking on her cross now, getting prepared for the marriage, which is the 7-day marriage feast. Right? Okay, that's the tribulation period. The bride will already be ready. I'm not saying absolutely perfect. I'm just saying she's ready to follow the Lord without guile. Right? "And I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you." Now, Jesus knows a lot. He can tell you a lot. And he does it for his friends. And they're the ones that keep his commandments. The rest are still walking in darkness. And he said, "You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you." Now remember, he wasn't saying that he chose Judas. Remember, we just already read that, you know. Judas had a totally different nature than the rest of them. And there's Judases among us, and they will be manifest, and they will go out from us, and we will be sanctified, just as we've talked about. "But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." So the people that he has chosen will bear fruit. Now people say, "Well, this is talking about bringing in people out of the world." Well, of course, that's part of the fruit, you know. But the fruit is in the seed. The seed is in the fruit, right? So, if you got fruit, you got seed to show and to share, you know. But the people who bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, the one in the Bible, these are the ones He's chosen. "And that your fruit should abide. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it unto you." Wow, isn't that awesome? "Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another." Well, you can see how important it is to love one another and to love Jesus, because your prayers will be answered. And that's very important to the people around you. Because you're laying down your life for the brethren. You know that a sanctified life is heard of God, right? "These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hateth you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Well, of course, if the world hates Jesus and Jesus lives in you, the world is going to hate you. If you're avoiding the hatred of the world at all cost, you're going to miss Jesus. So now we're seeing something about hatred. And I'm just going to take a moment to talk a little bit about hatred. Because even God has hatred. But He has a right to have hatred. We don't. Because we can't judge. Right? Verse 19. "If you were of the world would love its own." You can tell people that are of the world. The world loves them. I know a person that was loving to be among the saints and to study the word and hang out around the saints, and they got into faction, and the faction took away their love for the saints, and now they hang out with the lost people, smoke dope, drink whiskey, so on and so forth. They hang out, they don't love the saints anymore. They love the sinners. And I'm not talking about in a good way. We love sinners because we want to love them into the kingdom. We agape them, you know. But they're of the world. People that fall away from God are of the world. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So don't feel bad about being hated by the world when God loves you. And you know that God has chosen you when they hate you. Who is it that was God's people? Look at all the prophets. They were all hated. Everybody that was somebody in the Bible was hated, even by the evil religious crowd who were of the world. Jesus said, I'm from above, ye are from beneath. He said that to the religious crowd, for goodness sake. They all thought they were saved. You know, but they weren't. They were of the world. So it's all right for you to be hated by the world. And the Lord hates the world too. Did you know that? You say, well, that can't be, David. Well, yeah, yes, it can. And you just need to have line upon line here, a little in there, a little. Psalm 5 and 4 says, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Evil shall not sojourn with thee. The arrogant shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's God. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou wilt destroy them that speak lies. The Lord abhorreth the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. Who is it in the world that the Lord loves? Those that he foresaw from the foundation of the world, those that he chose. They're in the world. But they're not of the world. They're of God. So it's very important that we're willing to be hated of the world. Now, we don't have to go out of our way to make them hate us. We would rather love them into the kingdom. And we find out who is of God, because he that's of God hears the words of God. So therefore you speak the words of God in love, and those who are of God will come out and follow. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So don't join Christians if you don't want to be persecuted. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. You see that? So when you speak the word to them, they will keep your word. Those that are coming out of the world. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Okay. And that's still the same today. Very many religious people who consider themselves Christians hate you. And they hate you because you've been chosen out of the world. And it's the same throughout history. Those who call themselves God's people hated those who were called out of the world and were coming into the image of the Father. And what it was the hate of the Father. Verse 22, we can see this in this context here. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. How do you hate him? You don't keep his commandments, right? He hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, they had not have sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Isn't it amazing that God can do supernatural wonders through people? That he gifts and he anoints in order to give, you know, deliverance to God's people. And yet the people will hate him. even for religious purposes, they think that you can get away with hating these people, you know. They've hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Recently, I knew of a brother who went out from us, and I thought to myself, well, I asked the Lord, actually, Lord, give me a word. I want to know whether I should go and see if I can help this person one more time, because I've done it many times. And I flipped my Bible up and stuck my finger down right here. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which is proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And ye also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Well, amen. And God is so good. Okay, I'm going to go to 1 John. And I think I'm going to start in chapter 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, there it is again, neither the things that are in the world. Do you love the things of the world? Do they distract you from Jesus? What is it that you serve? Do you serve the things of the world? Are your treasures, is your love heaped upon your treasures rather than on the Lord Himself? Or are these things just a means to an end? Literally, for the Christian, things are just a means to an end. You keep this body, you know, in good shape so that you feed it, you know, take showers, so on and so forth. You do all this so that you can serve the King. That's the means to an end. Other people have, you know, the love of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. In other words, the physical, you know. Do you look on people for their physical attributes? Or do you love them because the Father loves them? And do you look on their spirit man, you know, and the need that is there, you know. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I'm going to go to chapter 3. And I think I will start in verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, because they're keeping his commandments, because they've proven that they love him, right? And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, because they keep not his commandments, so therefore they don't love him, they love the world, right? And the lusts that are in the world. Neither knoweth him. Lots of people say they know the Lord. But you can't say you know the Lord unless you keep his commandments. And unless you love, right? My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Okay, so we've been called to do righteousness. We've been called not to love the world or the things of the world and be distracted by them and to serve them. Even family. If any cometh unto me and hateth, I'm going to give you the short version, not his family, which means in relativity to loving God, you don't love them more than you love God. You love God more than you love them, and you're going to obey him. All these disciples, you know, sacrificed their families. I don't mean that they didn't provide for them. They did. But They knew that there was a higher sacrifice that must be done. And because of them, multitudes of people came into the kingdom. Even their family received favor from God to go into the kingdom because they loved the Lord, they kept His commandments, and that love brought them that fruit that we're talking about, right? He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. Wow. Because it's He that lives in them. And he that doeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now you remember Paul in Romans chapter 7, how he talked about the good that I would do, I do not, and evil which I would not, that I do. And he also said, so if the evil which I would not, he said, it's no longer I that do it, but the sin which dwelleth in me. So God separates from you the old man, the sinner. You're reckoning him dead. You're reckoning him dead. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Consider it done. That's what it means. Consider it done. Because it was done at the cross. And so that old man, he don't love God. He is the lusts of this world. He is the thing of this world. He is the physical of this world. He lives for the physical. He worships the things of the world. The love of the Father is not in him. And he's passing away. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, as the Son of God is coming in you, as you keep his commandments, he is coming in you. The old man is passing away. He is destroying the works of the devil in you. He is destroying it because he's taking its place. The old man is decaying. The new man, who is Christ in you, is being renewed day by day. And whosoever is begotten or born, it's the same word, born of God, doeth no sin. Many people say they're born again. And they may have had a born-again spirit, but do they have a born-again soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions? Peter talked a lot about the born-again soul. And, of course, that's where you bear the fruit. You know, you can accept Jesus, and you may receive a born-again spirit, but if you do not obey him, you do not belong to him. Verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doeth no sin. Because his seed, what is the seed of the sower? The word of God. Because his seed abideth in him, he cannot sin because he is begotten or born of God. When you're born of God, the part of you that's born of God does not sin. That's the new man, the born again man, the spirit man. He doesn't sin. It's that old man that sins. And you're to reckon him dead. Actually, when you reckon him dead, the Lord accounts righteousness to you because you've believed his word. And because he's accounted righteousness, you can appropriate the things of the kingdom, including God himself. And when God lives in you, you don't sin. Wherever God lives in you, you don't sin. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this is in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay, a person who does not love his brother, in other words, 1 Corinthians 13, love his brother, is not of God. You know, because you belong to a part of a denomination does not mean you belong to God. You have divided the church. That's what denomination means. And he calls it a work of the flesh. The people that do these things are not born of God. They do not love their brother because they're a little bit different belief. They may dress differently, so on and so forth. But if you do not love your brother, it doesn't matter about your denomination. You're not of God. neither he that loveth not his brother. And for this is the message which you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. There's something about the evil that hates the righteous. Isn't it amazing that the thing that they hate the most is righteousness? They hate God. They hate God in you. It's okay. Don't be distracted. Don't let them manipulate you into their mold. Don't let them manipulate you and shame you in the rest of the world's eyes. Who cares what the rest of the world believes? Are you to be molded by your family? Who walks in the world does not keep his commandments? No. Keep right on walking, folks. Keep right on walking, because if you walk with the Lord, he will give favor to them. You pray for them, your prayers will be heard, just as we just read a while ago. Your prayers will be heard because you keep his commandments, and he will bring them in. So Cain was of the evil one, he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. It's been that way from the beginning, isn't it? Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you. Don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. That just proves who you are. You know, you're known by your enemies. If the wicked hate you, that's a good thing, because you're not of them. You're not of the world, right? But God loves you, for we know that we have passed out of death and into life, because we love the brethren. Oh, look at that. When you love the brethren and you keep the commandments of God, you love God and you love his children, because whatsoever done the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me, and you love his children, you've passed out of death and into life. Well, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are not there. Exactly so. He that loveth not abideth in death. So those who are not totally impressed with 1 Corinthians 13 and the description of love, and seek to emulate that love, they're abiding in death. They're not bearing fruit, because the Father and the Son do not abide in them. And the Father and the Son abides in those that keep their commandments. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. In other words, you don't have to do the physical murdering. When you hate, you are a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So anybody that hates their brother, they don't have eternal life. It doesn't matter what experience they had when they step foot into the kingdom, because they're not walking in the kingdom. No murderer, nobody that hates his brother, has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby know we love, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So it's not important, you know, what you desire. It's not important that you enjoy this world and the things of this world and the food of this world and all that. It's not important. It's important, do you lay down your lives for the brethren? And that, in most cases, that is somebody that at the moment is not a brother or a sister, but it can mean a brother or a sister. But when it's not, it's someone that's coming into the kingdom, because you're laying down your life for them. But whoso hath the world's goods and beholdeth his brother in need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? You know, you only need what you need, right? We're to be content with food and covering, the Bible demands. And we want to make sure that everybody around us, all the people of God around us, have their needs met before we have our greeds met, right? So, my little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue. People say it all the time. I've even had the fact just say, I love you, David, but they're stabbing me in the back while they're doing it. But it's just a religious spirit, that's all. An evil religious spirit. My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, if you see your brother in need and you withhold from him, how does the love of God abide in you, right? And in this way, everybody's needs are met so that everybody can function in this world so that they can serve God. This is the important thing. Not the love of the things of the world. You're not competing with the neighbors for the things of the world. You have a car that works good? Well, praise God. It'll get you there, and you can do it. You know, you can do what you need to do for the Lord there. Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our heart before Him. Because if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. See, He knows things you don't know about you. So, God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. Just know that if you're disobeying Him and your heart's condemning you, there's a lot more that you can be condemned for. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. Notice, He's not even counting the things that He knows that you don't know. He said, if your heart condemns you not, we can have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Notice that. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So the main thing is to please God, so that your prayers will be heard, so that you'll be able to bring Jesus to the multitudes, because He abides in you, because you love Him and keep His commandments. All right? And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Okay, this is His commandment, love one another. Believe, obey Him, so that you love Him and you love the brethren. Even as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments abideth in Him, and He in him. Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He gave us. And you remember, He said those that obeyed Him, He would send them the Holy Spirit. Right? By the Spirit which He gave us. Let's see, I'm going to jump on down to chapter 4 and verse 5. They are of the world. Therefore speak they as of the world, and the world heareth them. The world won't hear you, obviously. The worldly church won't hear you, obviously, because they're full of the world. But the world will hear them. There are a lot of Christians that they want to, by all means, be acceptable to the world. And so they can't be acceptable to God, because you can't love the world and love God at the same time, as He said. And people, you know, they would go to all lengths to disobey the word, but to please the world, because they don't want to be persecuted or looked down on. They can have someone in their presence who is, you know, speaking evil to them and into their heart, and yet they won't stop them, because they love God. They won't stop them. Because they're of the world. And guess what? It goes right into their heart. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist. There, we discern the spirits in people. You know, maybe I should back up for a moment and read verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now he's talking about spirits in people. But prove the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets, notice he's talking about the spirits in people, are gone out into the world. Okay, now, gone out into the world? Remember, we already read that they went out from among us, and they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. So now we see people who started out, as far as we know, as Christians, but they went out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. In other words, in a person. Okay, because he's talking about false prophets here. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is, that's what it says in the original, come in the flesh is of God. So when the spirit that's in a person confesses that Jesus is in there, because it's in agreement with Jesus, the love of God is there, so on and so forth, when it agrees with that, it's of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. So when you hear of a spirit in somebody who claiming to be a Christian or claiming to be a prophet or claiming to be something, if they're not obedient to the word, they're not of God. Okay? And their spirit does not confess Jesus. In other words, they don't. It's not confessing that Jesus is in that person. It's not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice who the Antichrist is. Let's just say what the Bible says and don't add to it and don't take away. The traditions of men are full out there. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is come in the flesh. That's a spirit of Antichrist. And notice it calls him the Antichrist. Whereof you have heard that it cometh. Everybody thinks the Antichrist is coming. But let me say this. It's here. It's been here all along. And now it is in the world already. What is it? The Antichrist. Who is it? Every spirit. Notice that the Antichrist is a corporate body of people whose spirit does not confess Jesus. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them. That is the Antichrist people. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. The Antichrist people are in the world. They love the world. They speak from the world. They are from beneath, as Jesus said, even if they're religious, because he was speaking to religious people. They're of the world. They are of the world. Verse 5. Therefore speak they as of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he who is not of God heareth us not. So, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. It comes from God, right? And everyone that loveth is begotten of God, or born of God. The people that love, what do? They keep his commandments. If you keep his commandments, what happens? Jesus and the Father come into you and make their abode with you. So therefore, they're born of God. Let me read it again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, or begotten of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Praise the Lord. Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And because he did that, we can love him. We can keep his commandments. And if we love him and we keep his commandments, we're born of God. And the world hateth us if we're born of God, because we keep his commandments. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Once again, we have beheld and bear witness that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he in God. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. Listen, God is love. He is that description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. That's what he is. Therefore, if we keep his word, the love of God abides in us, and he lives in us and through us, and then you become love, right? You're truly born of God. I mean, each seed bringeth forth after its own kind, right? The seed is the word, and the word causes us to love and keep his commandments. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Herein is love made perfect. Now that's what we want, right? Because that's God. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, even so are we in this world. That's an amazing statement. But it's in total agreement with 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. You're looking in the mirror, which means you're seeing yourself by faith. You're looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus by faith. You know that he lives in you, right? And of course, your faith is accounted as righteousness. And because your faith is accounted as righteousness, you have access to the grace to walk in the steps of Jesus, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world. Notice it doesn't say as he was, but as he is. And there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Because, you know, when you're perfect in love, it's because you're keeping his commandments and your heart condemns you not. Okay? We love because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, cannot love God, whom he hath not seen. Oh, praise God. So, we know that there are many people who hate their brother. And, of course, they do not love God, as it says clearly. Because if you love God, you love those who are born of him, John said. Right? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whosoever loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you love God, you love his children, right? And hereby we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and do his commandments. Why is that? Because if you do his commandments, you're going to edify his children. You're going to be a witness of God to his children. You're going to be a conviction against sin to his children. When you keep his commandments, God in you is able to express himself through you to them, right? They get a description of God. They get a description of God's love. They watch your witness. You're influencing them to godliness. If you teach somebody to disobey the Word of God for whatever reason, theological reason or otherwise, it's better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown in the depths of the ocean. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So, when you're overcoming the world, that's the part of you that's born of God. You're a good witness to your brethren. You love your brethren because you love God. And you're keeping his commandments. You're being a good witness and a testimony unto them. And those that use things like, oh, once saved, always saved. You know, unconditional eternal security. In other words, you can live the way you want to, but you don't love your brethren if you do that. We just read it. You don't love your brethren. You're not being a witness to them. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. We don't have to settle for less. We don't have to settle for being a sinner saved by grace. Our faith looks in the mirror and sees Jesus. And what does he say? We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So your faith brings Christ in you. Your faith brings the Father in you. They are a witness in you. They are doing the works through you. See verse 11. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you do not abide in the Son, in your works, in your faith, in your love, you don't have eternal life. God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ. Where do all of our blessing and provision abide? In Christ. Where do we have to abide in order to have it? In Christ. So God did not put something in your hand called eternal life. He put it in Christ. And that's where you have to abide in order to have it. And Jesus said that unless you abode in him, you would not bear fruit and would be cast forth as a branch, and they gather them up and throw them in the fire. It's very plain. So this idea that God's given you eternal life, you can't take it back. No, he's given it to Christ. The heir is as of seeds, as a seed, as of one. The heir was Christ. You have to abide in Christ to have the blessings of Abraham. So you're searching the scriptures to be a disciple, a learner and a follower of him, because in him is all blessing and all provision and all protection, and everything you need is in him. And he that hath the Son hath the life. Well, who has the Son? Remember, he says that he will come and make his abode with you. If you what? Keep his commandments. He that hath the Son hath the life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not the life. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. And like Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. If any man see his brother sinning a sin, not unto death, he shall ask, and God will give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. You know, let me say this. When you walk in willful disobedience, you don't have a blood covering, according to Hebrews 10:26, and you're judged. You're entering into death. This is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. Not concerning this do I say that he should make request. You're not asking God to bless someone who is willfully disobedient. You're asking God to grant them repentance so that they can have life. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Yes, sins of ignorance are not unto death. Sins of failure are not unto death. As Paul said in Romans chapter 7, you wanted to please God, but you failed. They're not unto death. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that was born of God keepeth himself. So therefore, if you abide in Christ, Jesus will keep you. And the evil one toucheth him not. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the evil one. So there's only two men in the earth, right? There's those that are in God and those who are in the world. The whole world is in the evil one. And 2 John 1:9 says, whosoever goeth onward, in other words, people start out with you in Christianity, right? Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God, and he has not love of God either, right? Because he's not obeying the teachings, right? He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes unto you and brings not this teaching, receive him not into your house. And give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil works. Alright, that's pretty plain. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Undeserving. That's what we are. Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Boy, I tell you, there's a lot of commandments in the law, right? Okay. And he said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, which is what? Keeping his commandments. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is it, folks. We want to love God with all of our being. Because if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. If we love him, he's going to bless us with answers to our prayers. Which means for our loved ones and the lost people around us and for ourselves, you know, if we love him. And this is the great and first commandment. So this is the great and first commandment. Love the Lord with all of your being. And the second, like unto it, is this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments the whole law hangeth. And the prophets. Meaning every other law was for the purpose of God's people loving him, keeping his commandments, and loving their brother. Love is the commandment of the law. It fulfills the law. Amen? That's very important. John 21. I'm going to read to you 15 through about 18. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? And he said that because back in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Here the Lord had just died, you know, and they were discouraged. And so they went, fell back on the things that they knew, right? But no, the Lord had a job for them, you know. He that saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know, Jesus was asking for a higher love than was, in fact, it's two different words, than what he was willing to say that he knew he had. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Look, if you love the Lord, feed his lambs. Right? He saith unto him again, a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Again, he was offering a lesser love than what the Lord was asking for. And the height of love, which is agape, not just phileo, the height of love is to serve God and bring his sheep into the kingdom, right? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, tend my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He was doubting the quality of his love. Why? Because I go fishing. He said, no, this is not what you're here for, boy. I took all this time training you up, teaching you so that you could go out and bring in the harvest. This is the love of the Lord. This is what it pleases him, what pleases him. We need to please him, right? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. You know, when you're young and immature, you just do what you want to do, right? But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Wow, when this other girds you, you go where you don't want to go. And that is to your cross. And by the way, you're no use to the people of God if you're not bearing your cross and denying yourself and doing those things which love is described as in 1 Corinthians 13. And carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. You know, at least we don't have to go to a physical cross. We go to a spiritual cross, a cross of death to self. We deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, right? Or we're not his disciples. We're not a learner and a follower of his. We're called to be disciples. We're called to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus. And just for a moment, I'd like to address this right here in Luke chapter 6. And verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and reproach you. He said, blessed are ye when men hate you. Not for wickedness, not because you've done something evil or wrong, or not because you're obnoxious. A lot of Christians are just obnoxious, honestly. But because you're keeping his commandments, you're loving him and keeping his commandments, and even showing love to these people who want to kill you. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and reproach you, and cast out your name as evil. Have you been there? I've been there a lot. And it brings forth peaceable fruit. It's not pleasant, but it brings forth peaceable fruit. For the Son of Man's sake, we do everything to serve our Lord, even go to the cross, even be willing to say and do things that the world hates. Because you're not after the world, you're after those who are in the world, but who have been called out of the world because they can hear the words of God. They've got a gift to hear the words of God. And reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Notice, you are called to be hated like the prophets were called to be hated. And Jesus was called to be hated. Don't try to appease the world. It doesn't matter what they think. You'll never please them if you're serving God. How about your lost family? You'll never please them if you're serving God. Don't be standing around and serving them because they're shaming you into submission. Don't be listening to their Jezebel spirits. Go forth and go and do what your Father sent you to do. If you serve the Father, He will serve you. He will take care of them. Let Him take care of them. Don't try to change their mind. Don't try to be somebody that's likable in their eyes. If they don't know God, you're just barking up the wrong tree. For in the same manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full now, for you shall hunger. And woe unto you, ye that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. So you know what? We go through some misery now, but we're going to have eternal joy. And especially when we see those people that we've loved into the kingdom there. Don't waste a lot of time on the world, pleasing the flesh. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for the same manner did their fathers unto the false prophets. If they speak well of you, you're not as close to God as you think. I know preachers that the world speaks well of because they don't do and live in such a way that makes the world hate them. If you speak the truth, the world will hate you. Okay, let's see. I'm going to read also Romans 12. This action of love here, I'll start in verse 9. But let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned one to another. Tender affection. In honor, preferring one another. We prefer the brethren. We would rather see their needs met than ours. Because if we give, it will be given unto us. So, I mean, you can't lose with God. You can give your last pennies, like the woman who cast into the treasury, right? You can give your last pennies, but you're not going to not have your needs met because God said, given, it'll be given unto you. And it's not according to how much, but how much you needed it. In diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. You know, in tribulation, when people are tribulating you, persecuting you or whatever, testing you, trying you, you know, you're tempted not to be patient, but the Lord demands it. Because that's showing love, right? We just saw that, 1 Corinthians 13. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. We need to pray. We need to pray at all seasons, as the Bible says. And we need to pray without ceasing, as the Bible says. Communicating to the necessities of the saints. So this is part of evangelism. It's part of your walk as Christ. We're meeting the needs of the saints. Let me say this. If you have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, you're not able to meet the needs of the saints. Jesus had power. He wasn't dead Christianity. This, you're supposed to depart from them. That's what you're commanded to do. You need to be filled with the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God to give to the necessities of the saints. and given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. So we're supposed to love our enemies as commanded by Jesus, right? Not just love those who love us, but love our enemies. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Yes, you're supposed to show compassion. How many times did it mention in the scriptures that Jesus had compassion on them before a mighty work of God was done? See, the gifts work through love. They work through compassion. Jesus had power because he had compassion on the people. He wasn't there to show himself great in the eyes of the people. He was there to show compassion. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceits. Render to no man evil for evil. He that returneth evil for good, evil will not depart from his house, the Bible says. And in this case, render to no man evil for evil. Don't pay them back, right? That's the Lord's job. That's not your job. They don't learn anything when you pay them back. They learn something when the Lord pays them back. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. In other words, sometimes you have to go out of your way, out of even the restrictions that God has given unto you. In other words, there may not even be a restriction on behalf of God, but you're doing this because you're being weak to the weak, right? Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. In other words, if they think it's honorable, then do it for them, right? If it be possible, as much as in you lieth, be at peace with all men. Be at peace, as much as in you lieth. Sometimes it's not possible, but you do your best, right, to be at peace with them. To put things across to them in a manner that they can receive. To love them when they don't love you. A soft answer turneth away wrath, etc. You want to have peace with all men. It's not always possible. It's possible on your behalf to have peace with them. It may not be possible on their behalf because they're lost. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath. And of God was added in there. But give place unto the wrath that comes from them, right? Avenge not yourselves, beloved. In other words, no payback, right? Give place unto the wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. I'll pay back. It's my job to pay back, God says, not your job, right? Turn the other cheek. Resist not him that's evil. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. This is love. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, Father, we ask, Lord, that your love be in us. The kind of love, Lord, that's agape love, that causes us to want to obey you because we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. Lord, give us that gift, because if we have that love, we will keep your commandments. Lord, we look in the mirror and we see that we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, because we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So this is a gift from the Lord the Spirit for those who by faith behold Jesus in the mirror. And what do we see there? We see love. Yes, we have his love. We see forgiveness. Yes, we have His forgiveness. We see healing, because Jesus is healed, right? Of course. And yes, we are healed too. And we see deliverance, because Jesus is delivered. And yes, we are delivered too. We see the reconciliation that was accomplished at the cross, the exchange of His life for our life. Lord, we glory in what You did at the cross for us. You set us free. You healed us. You delivered us. You provided for us. You protected us. All these things. My God shall supply your every need according to His riches and glory. So, Lord, we thank You for that awesome gift that we behold is ours. The exchange has been made. Lord, that love that we've been talking about today, Lord, that love is ours. It was given to us at the cross. Reconciliation was accomplished. The exchange happened. You took our sin, our very unloving ways, and You nailed them to that cross, and You took the life of Your Son, and You gave it to us in exchange. So we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And we let not sin therefore reign in our mortal bodies, because we have faith that Jesus lives in us. And we thank You, Father, for this awesome miracle of provision that You have given unto us. We receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank You so much for it. And we are so happy, Lord, that it is ours. And we don't have to attain to it. We just receive it as a gift. And we thank You so much for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, okay, saints, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to me ramble on a little bit. Thank you so much. God bless you and keep you. Bye-bye.